This is episode 54, and I'm Josh Newton. Welcome to the I'm Josh Newton show, where it is all about putting your potential into practice. In this episode, I'm going to be interviewing Mike Bledsoe. Mike is one of the co-hosts of the popular strength and conditioning podcast, The Barbell Shrugged, and he also has his own podcast, Bledsopia. In this interview, we'll talk about Mike's journey from high school to the Navy SEALs and then to IT trainings and all the way to opening a CrossFit gym and starting his first podcast. We'll also talk about Mike's why, and I think this is a really great example of somebody who has an overarching reason for why they're doing everything in their life, but he's also translated this into a great how. And this is something that he uses every day to keep himself grounded in the day-to-day. Just a quick disclaimer before we jump into this interview, there is a little bit of profanity in this episode. So if you're listening to the I'm Josh Newton podcast very loud in a public place for everyone to hear, which I very much encourage, this may not be the episode.
All right. Well, welcome, Mike. And thank you for joining us on the podcast. To get started, do you mind just giving a little intro to yourself, who you are, what it is that you do?
Yeah. Man, what I do now is I travel the world interviewing people and getting into interesting experiences. And, you know, I look for other podcasters that I can help out. I look for other entrepreneurs I can help out. And I put on seminars when I travel around a little bit here and there as well. But, you know, there's not a set thing that I do. But my big thing is I interview people and I teach people, and I'm a student forever. So that's what my life looks like now. And, you know, I come from a background of, you know, just real quick, I was homeschooled. I joined the Navy. I left the Navy. I went to school to study exercise and sports science. I started off as a business major. And accounting kicked my ass. And so I was like, which is a really simple thing, which is shocking now. Like, I understand it now, but it was like no context.
Yeah, it wasn't for you, huh?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got out of high school, or, you know, got out of the Navy. And then here's an accounting class. I don't know what any of this means. And then so I was like, oh, exercise science. I like to work out. So I was pretty nerdy about it too, though. And so I thrived there, opened up a CrossFit gym in 2007, the first one in Tennessee. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, from 07 to 2012, was doing that. 2012 started podcasting, doing YouTube videos, and doing opening up an online business. It took me a good 18 months of having an online presence before I could even make enough money to really, you know, do anything with it. Mm-hmm. And then since then, yeah, it's just been an evolution of online business and health and fitness and entrepreneurship and really following my curiosity. It's been fun.
That's awesome. I love even the way you described that, just following your curiosity. Is I'm curious, because you said when you got out of the Navy, you went to school and you kind of found yourself following exercise science, because you said you like to work out. Is what actually took you into the Navy even before that?
I went in the Navy. I read a book about by a Navy SEAL when I was 15.
Okay.
And I loved working out, and I love being physically active, and I liked shooting guns. And I go, well, this sounds like the perfect job it would be to be a Navy SEAL. And I love being in the water too. So I was like, oh yeah, let's do that. Went in the Navy and went to BUDS, and I failed out of BUDS. So I got hurt during Hell Week, and they're okay. Like, oh yeah, you can start over at the beginning. And I said, no, my body is fucking destroyed.
Right.
I swear. my body's destroyed. I am going to go to the fleet for a while. And when I was in the fleet, I fell out of love with the Navy. And really, the big thing there that I discovered, the Navy taught me something about myself. It taught me a lot of things about myself. But the big thing that stands out is that I really want to be in control of my own destiny. And being in the military really didn't lend itself to that possibility.
Right. So it's interesting because, you know, as you're talking about some of these different things that you found yourself doing, it seems like you're somebody who naturally chases things you're just curious about in general. Did you get a lot of pushback on that initially? You know, I don't know if it was maybe from your parents or family who just said, you keep going after things you just seem like you like to do. They're not traditional things maybe, or I don't know, maybe being in the Navy kind of was in your family or something like that. I don't know, but it sounds in general, you've chased your curiosity. Is that something you got pushback on from other people initially?
From the very beginning.
Okay.
The earliest memory I have of getting any pushback, I was about 15 years old, 15, 16 years old. And I remember working out like 3 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like I just wanted to run and swim and lift weights and have a good time. I remember my dad pulling me aside and saying, you know, you can't make money doing this. You should probably spend your time doing something that's going to make some money. And he owned his own construction business. He's like, okay. You know, you could do this or that. And so I think some of that advice sunk in a little bit. I didn't slow down. I think I just added more stuff on. I go, okay, well, I guess I need to learn some other stuff too. And I was really interested in computers at the time.
Okay.
And I actually ended up getting like studying, buying like all these computer certification books, like A++, and doing all that shit. And so while I was in high school, I was like working out. I was lifeguarding, teaching swimming, and running this IT network.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was still following my curiosity, but I was trying to keep it within this, I added the computer stuff, I think, to, it's like, oh, computer stuff is going to pay money.
Right.
And I added that to my repertoire because it was practical.
Okay.
And, over the long run, I actually, that practicality and learning those skills have been beneficial, but it have been far from the core of what I do for work.
Right.
Work.
Right. So that's really interesting. We haven't talked a lot about my background. We kind of jumped right into this, but mm-hmm. So I'm actually a computer science major.
Okay.
I was. I am.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not in school anymore. But so I went into computers as well. It's actually funny that we have that in common. I didn't realize that. But
yeah.
I went into college as a music major.
Mm.
So, and yeah, terrible decision. I went in as a music major. Saxophone was my concentration. It had nothing to do with even the music that I like to do, whatever. I just happened to be good at it. And I think it's actually what got me into the college I wanted to go to, and then switched to computer science and got a job actually working for my dad right out of college doing that, because he had a consulting company and everything. And I hated that. I hated it so much when it actually came down to doing it. So that's really interesting.
Mm.
So I guess my first exposure to you, the first thing that I, how we got connected, or I guess originally before you knew we were connected, was me listening to the Barbell Shrugged podcast. And I'm curious, when did it get to a point for you where you were so interested in working out or CrossFit and, you know, fitness and all that type of stuff that it turned into something like a podcast? How did that happen?
You know, when I was running the gym, well, I opened the gym because I wanted to work out at a gym that was a CrossFit gym. And mm-hmm. then I went looking for the gym and it didn't exist. So I go, well, if it doesn't exist, then I guess I'll open it. And so from 2007, when I opened the gym, to 2012, when we launched the podcast, I did start a few other businesses during that time. And I tried inventing a couple different pieces of equipment. And so in that period of time, 07 to 2012, was a lot of lessons learned. You know, I started an equipment business, dropped 50 G's into that. And then as soon as I broke even, I got the fuck out of there because I realized that that was not what I wanted to do.
Right.
But I tried out a lot of things that I thought I might be interested in that was related to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in 2011, I was looking at the landscape of the podcast landscape and just the internet, just the what kind of information was being put out around strength and conditioning at the time. And I saw a huge gap in the market. I go, wow, there's and it wasn't like I saw a huge gap in the market. And I go, that's going to make me a ton of money. It was more of, man, there's a big need here. And I actually think me and my buddies will fill that gap really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And so up at that point, I'd been taking a lot of phone calls from other gym owners and coaches asking for advice around training and running business as well. So I gained some notoriety prior to the podcast in the southeast of the United States. I would travel around, do some weightlifting seminars because I had a weightlifting background prior to CrossFit, and I had a fantastic coach. And so I already had a little bit of a notoriety going for me. So when I go, oh, I've been giving away this advice, you know, I'm spending hours a week on the phone with people giving them advice. I could just record this in a conversation with my buddies who are extremely knowledgeable as well. And then now we just put it out and I don't have to do the phone calls anymore. I can just do that. If I do it all over again, I probably would have charged money for those consulting calls, but whatever.
Yeah. But that's cool. I mean, you found a way to, you know, add value to a community, right? And, you know, take what you knew and what you've been learning and all that type of stuff and pour that into other people. So, I mean, I'm sure do you think that's part of the reason why you're able to do what you do now is because you've kind of put in some of that effort and helped out other people. And so now maybe that's coming back to you, whether you call that karma or whatever it is or something like that. But, do you think that's kind of opened the door for you to have a lot of other opportunities?
I think I just am attracted to teaching what I've learned. You know, like, oh, this is my path. This is the pain I see. I look back and I see I'm a bit of an early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I usually jump into products and services and markets that are brand new. And I do things before it's cool.
Right.
A lot of times. And sometimes I like to think that I actually make things cool. You know, like people are like, ah, I don't want to do that. And then I do it and I keep Instagramming about it and talking about podcasts. And finally it's acceptable that
right.
try it out too. So my interest is really there. And as far as the opportunities bringing themselves to me, I think that when you're doing, I guess it could be kind of like a karma thing that, you know, I try to put out as much value as possible. And whenever I'm podcasting, whenever I'm working, I'm thinking about where is the person who's listening to this and how can this information help them? And so there's a mix of, you know, my own curiosity with this part of me that wants to help others. And I think that people really get the feeling when they, especially when I meet them in person, because I've met other people like this too, and I get that feeling from them, which is, wow, this person really just wants to help and wants to be of service. And when that's true, you know, opportunities pop up because people want to be helped and other people want to be of service too. And when it makes sense to team up and do things, it's just really easy. And I've gotten to the point, you know, it's been several years now that I've been at the point where I have to say no more than I say yes.
Right.
There's an opportunity day coming. Not only are there opportunities flowing in constantly, but I'm having ideas constantly that I want to take action on, but I have to go slow down, dude. There's only so much that can get done. And, you know, practicing discernment, you know, what impact am I really trying to make? And where can I really, put my attention and time that's going to allow that to happen? And sometimes good ideas are just good ideas.
Right.
And sometimes they're the thing that are going to actually move the ball forward for me and the rest of humanity. So, yeah. And there was a period of time where I had to say yes to everything.
Right.
And I said yes to everything. And that actually taught me discernment because there's a lot of things that I would have said no to, but I said yes to it anyway. It ended up being the best thing I could have ever done. So I think we live in a culture where no is the predominant answer.
Yeah.
You got to go through a phase of yes to everything. And then that'll teach you about yourself. And then you can move into another phase of no.
Yeah. So I love this idea of, you know, discernment and trying to figure out, you know, what are the things, you know, especially now, right, where you said you have, you know, so many ideas and opportunities and there's a lot of things you have to say no to so you can focus. Is there something that you primarily use when you're trying to figure out, is this something I should pursue? Do you have like a why statement or like an idea of who you are and like something you're trying to accomplish with your life that you kind of use as a measuring stick for those things? Or how do you make some of those decisions?
You know, I think my why has shifted over time, and it's, I'm currently in the middle of an evolution of my why. So it's a actually interesting question to ask. Historically, you know, I have a purpose statement and I have, you know, I know that I want to make the world a healthier place overall. And a lot of times it's being run through that filter. It used to be a phrase. Now it's more of a feeling. And okay. So, the feeling is, you know, in learning, and I had to go through a lot of personal development to be able to even, read my own feelings. You know, is this a feeling of fear or is this a feeling of inspiration? And a lot of times people don't know the difference between the two because all they've experienced up until this point is fear. So they mistake fear for inspiration, and the, fear is what drives the majority of the population. You know, the focus on what we don't want to happen.
Right.
No, I don't, you know, I don't want to lose my health insurance. I don't want to lose my paycheck. I don't want to, you know, whatever. I want to be able to do this or that versus what do they want to create, you know? And are you making choices based on avoidance or are you making choices based on creation? What is it that you want to really, you know, make a difference in the world? And so I think intellectually that can be something we can have a conversation about, but in the moment people experience failure and go back to fear and let that be the driving force. And so it takes a lot of work, and I did a lot of work to focus on my relationship with fear and shift my relationship with fear and really understand what my body is telling me. What is that gut feeling? You know, what does that mean? And, or what does it mean to listen to my heart? So, for me, a lot of it has to do with this overarching theme of let's make the planet a healthier place.
Right.
And as I'm going through my day to day, a lot of times listening to my gut, listen to my heart, and shut off my mind because the mind is driven by fear primarily. And so that's how I live, like my big picture purpose and my why.
Okay.
And I have a practice of, I have a mantra practice for how I, that is more connected to my how, is how am I going to achieve this? So, my why is, you know, like I said, it's very clear to me. I've been working in this why for most of my life, consciously or unconsciously. And my current how is, you know, is a mantra. And right now it's high speed, low drag. So,
okay.
And because up until this point, I built everything in my business, I built to be pretty heavy.
Okay.
And really big. And now I'm in a phase of business where I go, wow, I've been aware of this for a little bit, which is, you know, say a couple of years, is I've built a lot of inefficient business systems.
Hmm.
And they're heavy. They require technologies that are too much. Like, I need this technology to do one thing, but it does 100 things, and it does the one thing kind of good.
Right.
Getting rid of like heavy, bulky automation processes, robots, and then also people. I used to hire people for where we were going.
Mm-hmm.
And where we were going in the business versus what we need right now. And so a lot of my attention was put at, in the past, was put on the potential of the business and not on the current state of the business. Because for me, it was a lot more comfortable for me to think about this is where we're going versus the reality of exactly where we're at right now. So So I use mantras to shape how I show up in moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the high speed, low drag mantra has served me really well, which would explain why I don't have a home right now. This is what's interesting about mantras. If you're really using them the way that they're, you know, all the way to your core,
right,
you're going to end up seeing shifts in your life you didn't predict. So I'm like, oh shit, this is actually happening now. This has impacted not just my business, but my personal life too, right, and my relationship with my wife. And you know what? This is a cool adventure.
That's awesome. So I'm
curious. As always, I would love to hear from you. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you can give me a call in or leave me a comment. If you're listening to it anywhere else, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram under I'm Josh Newton. And if you're enjoying the show and you haven't already, go to your favorite podcast listening app and subscribe and leave me a review. You can give me 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you think I deserve. But the more reviews that we get, the easier it'll be for other people to find this content and be able to put their potential into practice.